Holy Father, I thank you for your kindness towards us, for getting to be here at retreat and getting to share this hour together, for getting the chance to meditate on your nearness, and just so thankful to get to do that all together, and anticipated and long overdue, and now we're here, and we're just so grateful. Please be with us as we look at Psalm 121 and think about what to do when we feel overwhelmed. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you offer. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, there's more people coming. Sorry, maybe I'll just keep going. Okay. So I have a problem, and maybe you can relate. Often I'll say yes to everything, thinking I can actually do it. And it always ends up with me feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, worried, and wondering, how can I handle this? How can I actually do this? And I found that I get to this place because my heart believes that I am not limited, that I am actually capable on my own of doing it, that I don't need help, and I can operate as one who is always strong and never weak. Sorry, for those coming in, there are handouts. I'm not sure if, anyway, be on the lookout. They're coming to the back. Maybe for you, this feeling doesn't have to do with busyness. Maybe being overwhelmed isn't because of saying yes too often. Maybe you're really good at saying no. But maybe you're overwhelmed by the pressures at work. Your boss has this expectation that you could do the job of 5 people within an 8-hour workday. And this leads to you feeling overloaded and burnt out. Maybe for you, it's like chasing around a 1-year-old every day and not knowing how to sustain energy or patience. Or perhaps it has to do with like a season of life, you know, being single and feeling overwhelmed by pressures around you that say that, you know, you're lacking something. Where does this happen for you? When do you feel overwhelmed? There's this famous meme of a dog, and he's sitting in a room with a cup of coffee, and the room is like engulfed in fire. And the dog is just sitting there, and he says, "I'm fine." And maybe this is how we handle feeling overwhelmed. I really relate to the dog sitting with the coffee. And I think what makes this meme so relatable is that the dog really isn't fine. He doesn't admit that he needs help. And neediness and weakness, they're fundamental aspects of being human. We need to know that we need help. And that is how Psalm 121 begins. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, it's one of these special group of psalms from 120 to 134, and they are labeled Psalms of Ascent. These are the songs and prayers used by the Israelites as they journeyed to Jerusalem for their feasts that would happen a few times every year. And the tone of each Psalm of Ascent is different. It's varied, which really is the beauty of the Psalms. Whatever emotion, joy, despair, trust, restoration, you can find it in the Psalms. But the posture of this particular psalm, it's one of fear and worry. At the very beginning, we see the psalmist ask for help. And the psalm, it's only 8 verses long, but at every turn, we see the psalmist's weakness and vulnerability. His foot will slip. He needs sleep. The dangers ahead are unknown. The journey itself could lend a possible injury. The heat from the sun will probably be intense. And not only dangers from the climate, but also unseen enemies could be lurking. That's where we find the psalmist, in realization of his vulnerability. And then the writer cries out, "Where does my help come from?" It's this picture of being in a place where one doesn't know which direction the threat could come, during the day or during the night. when going out or coming in, now in the future, regardless of when it comes, there's one who keeps you, who walks with you. He will not abandon you. And so my hope for you today is that when you feel overwhelmed, you'll find your help from the Lord who is your keeper. And this is our key idea for the session today. Yahweh is our keeper who carries us to the end. And so let's read Psalm 121 together. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So this psalm, it's organized by pairs of verses, and the first grouping is found in verses 1 to 2. Verse 1 is when the question is posed, where does my help come? Concern for the journey. And the word help here, I think it's just important to know, it's not merely a request for assistance, like you need someone to watch your back or you need some kind of weapon to face the enemies. He's asking for something that the Lord alone can do for him, that he cannot do for himself. And so for us, I think it would be helpful for us to ask ourselves, what do we need that only God can provide? In prayer, we're connecting human need with the promises of God. Prayer is when our need and God's promises, when they meet. And we see that pattern here. The writer answers his own question, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And this leads to our first of 4 points that tells us how our help is from the Lord. So the first point is Yahweh, our keeper, is powerful. So the writer, he answers his own question with 2 important truths. First, that God is personal. When the word Lord appears in tiny caps, which you can kind of see throughout here that our translations often do, the writer is using the personal covenant name for God. The personal covenant name that God's people would call him, which is Yahweh. To use this name suggests relational closeness, relational privilege. This means God is near and that he is for the one calling out. And this difference, it's important. Yahweh, or the word God, is what he is, divine, holy, glorious. Yahweh is who he is, known, close, committed. The second truth in this, in his answer is that his help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, in poetry, this is called mirism. Mirism is, it's when a phrase is made up of 2 contrasting parts that refer to the whole. And that might sound like a lot, but we actually do this pretty frequently in conversation. They function kind of like bookends, like saying, oh, it's from A to Z, or I searched high and low. The writer uses this type of speech 4 times total in this psalm. So it's in here in verse 2, and then it's also in verse 6 when it says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And then again in verse 8, there's 2 of them. The Lord will keep you. You're going out, you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And this type of figure of speech, it helps us slow down and picture what is contrasted on like a much more grand scale. In this instance, more than just saying the maker of everything, he said his help comes from the one who made the heavens and with it all the galaxies, planets, moon and stars, and also the creator of earth, every grain of sand, cool breeze, ocean wave and hilltop. Not only the heavens and the earth, but everything in between. He is the one who begins, maintains, controls, and directs everything in his creation. And this is what gives the psalmist comfort. And this is who Yahweh is. not who I am or who you are. We are created. We're small, we're finite, often faithless, but this is how God moves towards us. He is creator. He's in control. He's personal. He's for us. Our worries, they usually imply that we need someone, the right protector, the right fixer, who is close, who's for us. And only those who know Jesus actually have that someone. Romans 8:31-32 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How can we doubt that he who did not spare his own son is for us and will not give us what we need? So the rest of the psalm, it tells us more about the content of the help he offers. And as we approach verse 3, we should note that the direction of the voice, it changes from first person to third. So the psalmist, in a way, is showing that the subjective needs of an individual is met by the objective truth from God. So our second point is Yahweh, our keeper, watches you. And so that's in the next two verses, 3 and 4. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. An important word is introduced here. It's the word keeper. And you can probably tell that this word populates the whole psalm throughout, and it appears a total of 6 times. It means protection, security, that he will guard you. Another important feature of verse 3 is that the writer explains what God does as our keeper, and he does this by telling us what he doesn't do as our keeper, that he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. What does it mean that he does not let your foot be moved? So last year, I was celebrating my 1-year anniversary with my husband, Seiji, and we went to Zion National Park. And there's this hike called Angel's Landing, and it's like a super narrow pathway, maybe as wide as a foot. And the drop around that pathway is about 1,000 feet on either side. So our plan was to go to the top. But when I saw it, I became afraid that my foot would slip, that I would be moved. And so I did not go. I was terrified. And then I told Seiji, because I knew Seiji really wanted to go. I was like, you can go, you can go. And he's like, oh, really? And then I started thinking, what if he slips? What if his foot moves? And so he could see my eyes like tearing up. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to go. we went on another hike that was also beautiful. But, you know, more than physically falling, have there been times when we emotionally slip? When you know, you feel weary and overwhelmed? For me, I felt this like yesterday. But I think just especially during busy seasons, I feel like there's no margin, or I'm running on fumes. And I'm thinking, like, oh, like, how can I actually get everything done? Or, like, how can I actually sustain this? So he will not let your foot be moved means that he is present. He's interested. He's attentive to every step. He's eager. And he's never indifferent. He's never unconcerned. He steadies you on the path. You will not slip. Similar idea in that he doesn't slumber nor sleep. The writer uses something so familiar to us, feeling tired. Probably as the Israelites set up camp, they wanted to keep watch at night, but they struggled probably because they could feel the heaviness of their eyes. Maybe they started feeling drowsy. We need rest. We were created to need rest, but God never feels this. He is always available. For us, when we are awake at night, it's usually because we are sleepless. We actually want to sleep, but we can't. That's not why God never sleeps. it's an amazing comfort to know that he never sleeps. Those who are parents, they might even use this verse to calm scared children at night before they sleep if they've had a bad dream. This is a great comfort. We can be at rest because he doesn't need rest. We can feel secure because he is awake. And then the last part of this grouping brings in this added phrase, the keeper of Israel. And this is a new thought that further informs that word keeper. This is the God of Israel, the rescuer of the people from slavery, the God who overthrows his enemies and redeems. The travelers were literally going up to celebrate the Passover along with other celebrations, all functioning as a reminder of how God has rescued them over and over and over again. So the word keeper would hold with it the history of Israel and his faithfulness to deliver them. When was the last time, you know, we stopped to think back on the faithfulness of God towards us, how he has delivered us? How can we remember his faithfulness when we feel overwhelmed? In this psalm, the distress, it's left vague, and this is common in the Psalms. We are given patterns of experience and truth that we can fill with our own specific details of life. And this helps us as we think about both ends of the spectrum of fears and worries and being weary ourselves for the things we thought we could do and find out we actually can't. And also on the other extreme, the things that we are totally aware are outside of our control, but that weigh on us. Things like singleness, infertility, a wayward child. And God, he's not indifferent to these feelings. Sorry. The psalm, it speaks to all of it, and as we'll continue to see, that even if we're powerless to keep ourselves, the comfort is that he sees you, and he knows you, and he's with you. And that leads us to our third point. Yahweh, our keeper, is near. So the next two verses, they develop further what it means that Yahweh is our keeper. Verses 5 and 6 say, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So especially for someone traveling in the sun, shade would be important. Today might be hot, and we will be looking for shade. If you've stood in a line at Disneyland, or maybe you visited Joshua Tree, you might know a little bit about what this is like. With no modern luxury of air-conditioned cars, their journey would have been difficult. It would have been long. It would have been in the sun directly on them, and it would have been all day. They would be desperate for shade, and when they felt it, it would be reviving, life-giving. For God's presence to be compared to shade not only means that he provides refreshment, and it also means that he would need to be close enough to shade you from the sun. What we find from the psalm and throughout the Bible is that he's actually pleased to be close. His closeness has been his plan all along. And here he describes his closeness as shade on your right hand. And it's constant. It's from dawn through the night and everything in between. When was the last time he felt like shade to you? Where his closeness brought refreshment. Do you look to him for shade when you need refreshment? So often we pull up ourselves up by our bootstraps and do it. We make like an 11-step plan. Or maybe, maybe it would be more helpful if we ask, what keeps us from seeing God like this? Do I seek shade in my job or being productive or maybe in companionship? We're content finding shade under this like tiny twig when there's a large oak close by. Now, God was close to his people before Jesus, but he's infinitely closer now that the forgiveness of sins has been accomplished and the Spirit brings us into Christ. When Christ came, his name was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he's pleased to keep telling us this again and again and again. And if even right now you're feeling overwhelmed, anxious, worried, even afraid, I just want to assure you that however alone and isolating that you might be feeling right now, the reality which wraps around us is that you are not alone. There is someone who promises to never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. Our fourth point is Yahweh, our keeper, carries us to the end. And this is in verses 7 and 8. It says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So verses 7 and 8, they move away from the direct physical dangers that the psalmist would be experiencing. And they move towards any possible danger for all of time. This isn't, you know, a promise of an easy life or that nothing bad would ever happen, but that nothing will separate us from him. And the things he allows into our lives is under his care. This is like the tip top of the psalm. So because it has in view eternity, not only present danger, but all danger, all future ones from now and forevermore. This is the game changer. Romans 8, it talks about how nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. The evil that befalls us is not supreme. Feeling overwhelmed is not ultimate. Christ is. The Lord keeps us implies this destination. You know, forevermore, that's with him. Face to face, it's eternity. He's keeping us to the end. The implication of Psalm 121, it's that we're on a journey. We are going somewhere, and there's someone who's caring for us every step of the way. The challenge is that I think God's help and closeness do not always seem to matter. Our anxieties, they want relief now, and God's promises do not guarantee an easier life. He promises a full life, an abundant life, but not an easy one. And our hearts can say, so what if the Lord is our keeper? So what if he is near? Will that actually make a difference? And it makes all the difference. I have quite a few nephews and nieces, and maybe you know children personally, and you can imagine that there are certain things that they're afraid of. But just imagine if they have to face something scary by themselves. Maybe a doctor visit or going to the dentist. But imagine if their parents were with them, how it would change things. So if my brother Tim and his wife G had Wesley and Isaac by the hand while they were getting their flu shot, I mean, it's terrifying alone. They would feel afraid. But with their parents, as their parents walk with them, there is confidence. They could say, I don't know what's going on, but I know that my parent is with me and I can trust them. This is like a small picture of what it's like to know that God is our keeper. We listen to the sound of his voice in scripture. And as we listen, we come to know that Jesus is the hope of humanity. And his closeness is our only hope. Intense to-do lists, fears, anxieties, when we feel limited and know we don't have control, hope isn't that I'm going to get what I want or that everything will go according to my plan, or I just need to hold out till the next weekend or vacation. It's that even if I go through hardship, our hearts can say, I shall not want, I shall not lack, and it's because of Christ. What keeps you from seeing God as your keeper, as powerful, as someone who watches you, as your shade, as someone near to you? And what are the alternatives? Are we going towards false helps? Am I my own keeper? Is it feeling the feeling of being useful? Is it just, you know, holding it together till nap time? Is it hoping in a future when I eventually get the things that I want? In the absence of a visible God, are we going towards things that are visible? Friends, finances, health and vitality, maybe our 401k? What is your keeper? And this is where the rubber meets the road, where we live by faith and not by sight. You know, maybe I don't feel like anything is changing when I still feel overwhelmed and I'm reading my Bible. Maybe I don't feel like going to church when I'm overburdened. calling out to him for help, pursuing him in his word, drawing near to his body of believers, it's declaring to our hearts that he is our help and he is better than any other form of refreshment or help that I can contrive of. And this psalm, it meets us with help from God as our ultimate source. But it also gives us help for the daily need, moment by moment help. For Israel, as they sung the song, it brought so much comfort. But their experience of the song is not full. Ours is, because Christ has come and he'll come again. If your heart is still saying, how can we know for sure? You know, where is the proof that he is our help? The proof, it's at the cross that Jesus died. He made himself truly vulnerable. He made himself weak. He was exposed for our sake. The wrath and judgment of God that we deserve overwhelmed him. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He overcame. He was overwhelmed so that we could walk through life knowing that we are his, that he is with us, that he's watching over us, and that we'll be with him forever. He's carrying us to the end. What the gospel accomplishes is that when we do feel overwhelmed, it's not ours to bear alone. And that's our hope, you know, in moments when we do feel these things, for us to turn to the Lord. When I feel overwhelmed, anxious, alone, we can say our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Well, for the rest of our time, I thought we could maybe turn to a few people around us and talk about the application questions that are in the handout. So there's just a few questions there. But also, I have some homework if you're inclined to do it. So it's kind of taking that thought of mirrorism that we reflected on in verse 2, maker of heaven and earth. And it's, you know, just taking some time this weekend. We're around so many beautiful things right now. We'll probably see the stars more clearly than we have in a while, for me at least. And just to take some time this weekend to either look out at creation around you and write your own mirrorism, or meditate further on the other mirrorisms mentioned in this psalm, like verses 6 and verse 8. And then there's a couple questions, too, that help guide that for further thought. But let me pray for us, and then maybe we can turn to our neighbor and talk. Dear God, I thank you for the help that you offer, that our help truly comes from the Lord, and that you are close, and that your nearness is our good. I pray that you would help us as when we do feel overwhelmed, whatever that might look like, whatever season of life or situation that is overwhelming, I pray that we would turn to you for help. And it's in your son's name we pray, amen.